Have you seen this?
Is this the best a man can get?
Over the weekend, razor company Gillette released a 1 minute and 48 second short film on social media.
Making the same old excuses.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
But something finally changed.
Allegations regarding sexual assault and sexual harassment.
In this era of Me Too, the ad confronts toxic masculinity with a message asking men to be better and accountable. The brand even took its 30-year-old tagline, "The Best a Man Can Get," and flipped it to promote the new campaign, "The Best Men Can Be."
We believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
Smile, sweetie. Come on.
To say the right thing. To act the right way.
Bro, not cool. Not cool.
And we asked you about it, and your reactions were strong and mixed.
I love the new Gillette ad.
This ad goes way overboard by indicting all men.
I am a woman, and I think it's great.
It certainly hits me as a father.
Gillette said they expected debate, and boy, did they get it. But like all marketers, they also want that debate to generate sales. Our next guests understand exactly what it takes to sell a product. Josh Weltman was a co-producer for Mad Men and is the author of Seducing Strangers, How to Get People to Buy What You're Selling. Josh, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, nice to meet you, Tanzina.
First off, I used to cover this advertising industry. I miss Mad Men, so Josh, I think you've got work to do again. I used to catch it live Sundays, so miss it. But let's get back.
I miss it too.
I mean, really, it was fantastic. But let's talk about Gillette here. Gillette said they wanted debate. They got it. Was it the type of debate that they were looking for?
I would imagine, yeah. I think it's great. I think ads are about setting expectations for products and services. And I think that when products and services exceed expectations, you get happy customers. And I would imagine that Gillette executives getting a lot of people talking about their ad like we're doing right now has far exceeded their expectations for what would happen with the campaign. I bet they're very happy.
I want to ask you about where do you think Gillette stands, Josh, in the American psyche as a brand? Is it a utility brand? Is it a sexy brand? Is it a brand that we think about? Like, is it a men's brand? Like, where is it today?
You know, I think it's a legacy brand, and I think that it's one of those things that's been around so long and people know so well that it almost fades into the background. I think that's why they're doing what they're doing, and they're doing a good job. They're making it relevant again by changing the meaning of the tagline from judging a man by how he looks and what he has to how he behaves and what he does.
I want to sort of talk a little bit about the different kinds of goals that advertisers have. I mean, clearly advertisers want to sell products, right? Clearly, Gillette is hoping that somebody will buy a Gillette razor, not that they'll flush it down the toilet. We're seeing different reactions, obviously, but let's talk a little bit about there's paid media, right? Media that like we see advertisers taking advertising out in newspapers or paying for commercials. But then there's this thing called earned media, right? The sort of buzz or the halo effect that your product gets organically. What is more important to brands?
I think what's important to brands is not necessarily the type of media where the conversations take place, but what the conversation is. I think that consumers or customers, people need four questions answered before they buy a product. And successful ads tend to answer one of those questions. The questions are, what is it? Why do I need it now? What makes it different? And who else thinks it's good? What sort of group or social community does buying into this product or this service make me a part of? So I think that the Gillette ad is really a part of the last type of ads, which is talking about, you know, are you a new man or an old man? Type of thing.
You know, in the show in Mad Men, I recall Don Draper would talk a lot about emotion in advertising and about doing the right thing. And ultimately, I'm thinking about when he, towards the end of the series, took out this big anti-tobacco ad, which in those days would have been considered sacrilegious almost. But that idea that advertising is about emotion, this ad is very much about emotion. P&G with Procter & Gamble, the company that owns Gillette, is not new to this. I mean, a couple years ago, they did a huge campaign around mothers for the Olympics that was very emotional. What's the role here that emotions play?
I think people basically communicate for only two reasons, either to transfer facts or to evoke emotions. And the fact is, the product hasn't changed. Gillette is still about selling you a sharp little piece of steel. But the thing that's changed that they have to address is what it means to be a good man, to be the best man. And that's going to be a completely emotional story. Our connections as humans are based on emotions.
One of the things that we've been sort of talking about here, in addition to the We Believe ad, which feels like an ad and a public service announcement at the same time, how does that compare to more recent political ad campaigns like Nike, for example, that featured Colin Kaepernick, or the Levi's campaign that came out right around the midterm elections encouraging Americans to get to the polls?
I think you see what people in advertising agencies call sort of manifesto ads. Usually when something has changed and the company has to address it, either you see car companies now doing it a lot, because the idea of a car being judged strictly by sort of how big and fast it is versus how clean and green it is putting pressures on them to look relevant. So you see car companies running, this is who we are, this is what we believe. Or you'll see Colin Kaepernick, or anytime there's controversy in the field, and a company has to sort of come down on one side of the line or the other. Typically, they'll do one of these manifesto ads that says, this is who we are, this is what we stand for. You know, companies, in my opinion, exist as promises to the marketplace, and products and services are how they make good on that promise. And every now and then, a company has to sort of get out there and say, remember, this is our promise.
Do consumers demand that a product be connected to the social good, just generally, more so maybe than they have in the past, or is it less relevant?
I don't know if it's less or more relevant. I think that, you know, most of the time you're selling tools that can be used for either good or bad. I think there's probably more pressure on consumers to give other people or things responsibilities for how they behave and where they end up in the world.
I'm wondering, is it the brand's responsibility, if you will, to fill that gap? I mean, does this indicate that maybe there's a social gap that we need to fill here? Brands shouldn't be really inputting their opinions.
I think brands are just fancy words for reputations, you know, and I think every person, every brand, every company, if they're smart, should have a reputation, a good reputation for doing good things.
Josh Weltman, co-producer of Mad Men. Thanks for joining us, Josh.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Diane from East Hampton, New York. It's about time. Not sure I approve of all the scenes in the beginning showing how we women have been sexually harassed for decades. But in the end, tying it all up the way they did, it states a positive message. They probably could have had a few more scenes showing how to empower little girls along the way. Overall, I think it's a good thing that they're doing.
Hey, this is Terry Mintz from Bend, Oregon. I think it's really well done. It isn't pedantic or preachy, but the disconnect scene with the men mindlessly chanting in front of the barbecues that boys will be boys was very impactful to me. For me, the ultimate message was driven home in the last scene where we saw men standing up for the fair treatment of women in front of their young sons. This was my ultimate takeaway. Men, be your best selves for the sake of the next generation. Teach them well and by example so that it can grow up respecting women as equals.
My name's Chris from Middlesex Borough, New Jersey. I think the Gillette ad is very powerful, and it certainly hits me as a father of two boys, age 5 and 3. I think it's very important that as a father, I raise them to be the best they can be, and that they stand up and treat others well and fight against those incidents of sexism and patriarchy, and to behave well themselves, but also to challenge others to behave better.
Hi, my name is Andy. I'm from New York City, and I love the new Gillette ad. Clearly, this needs to be blatantly explained to men in this current climate with the current president. A message is being sent and anything goes and anything can be said. And that is untrue when living in a civilized society. I think more companies need to make more statements in their advertising.
This is Kim in Hawaii. I am a woman, and I think it's great. It reflects many of my male friends who are good and gives clear guidelines to those that are clueless how to break the pattern of harassment, condescension, and bullying. What shocked me was the numbers of thumbs up to thumbs down on the video. When I watched it, it was 104,000 up and 380,000 down. This is so disheartening and stirs my anger.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.